This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
And that it is. Hello, it's Mike Moore and Carol Lawrence, co-host of Food for Thought, is away for today and tomorrow. Nice four-day weekend, enjoying some terrific weather. Most of the last several weekends she's been away have been really, really nice. Good for her. She'll be back on Monday. The show is coming to you live from downtown Manchester. We're on Elm Street, 814 Elm Street, to be exact, the Beacon Building. Tomorrow we'll be actually broadcasting out on the sidewalk in front of the beautiful Beacon Building with a couple of really fun guests, including Larry Cultrera, who has written the definitive book about New Hampshire diners. He is a real diner historian and aficionado. And Kevin Cornish, the man you know and love from the best barbecue in Manchester at Casey's Rib Shack on the west side. So some really great folks tomorrow. And our comedy cold cuts selections will have to do with camping. That's it. Big time of the year for camping. And my co-host tomorrow, filling in for Carol, is Chad Zingales, who is the director of golf operations at Amherst Country Club and Ponema Green, and an aspiring stand-up comedian. He has just started spreading his wings in that area, and tomorrow night one of the biggest Boston comedians will be doing a show at the Amherst Country Club, and he'll be one of the warm-up comics.
Wow.
So tomorrow it's Lenny Clark.
Oh, wow. He's funny.
Lenny Clark is amazing. He's done so many shows, movies, Something About Mary. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's amazing.
So he's the headliner, and Chad gets to be on stage with him. So
now, where is that again?
This is at Amherst Country Club
in
Amherst, New Hampshire, and Ponema Green, which is right off of 101, right near the railroad tracks. And is it 122, I think?
Yeah.
Right there. But anyway, a really, really good time. So I don't know if there are tickets still available. Last week, out of 150, there were, I think, 30 left.
Yeah.
And I wrote a piece about it in my column this week in the Nashville Telegraph. So I suspect that perhaps moved another couple tickets. But we'll find out from Chad, who will join us and bring us some laughs tomorrow. In the meantime, today, Chef Patrick Hall is here.
How are we doing?
The culinary director, or the director of culinary education at Lakes Region Community College at Shaker Village.
Yes, absolutely.
What a great place to go to work to.
Absolutely.
Is that where you always report to work? Village?
Yeah. I live like 15 minutes away too, which makes it even better. So mm-hmm. It's like all back roads, and you know, you go to work, and you're almost hitting turkeys and looking at deer on the way home. So it's pretty good. So you look out my front, of the restaurant, and you just see this beautiful, especially in the fall, you just see this beautiful 500-acre property. Of course, you know, the Shakers, and mm-hmm. They were just all about high quality woodworking and everything. So our restaurant's there, and it's beautiful. It really is.
Shaker furniture is legendary.
Yeah, and it's such a unique place. I mean, it's just. Yep. It's something when you go there and you're just there and it's like spiritual, no pun intended.
No, that's a very good way to put it. It's like you walked out of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Although it does have a New Hampshire feel to it.
Yeah,
But you just don't feel like you're in the regular world.
You can still hear the racetrack, but
they do a lot of activity there. It's not just two times a year. So I suppose you can. But it is a great place to go, and it's interesting because it's communal dining on the inside, and you have the slag stone patio. Is there dining out there still?
Well, until it gets cold, we'll open it up there. So usually probably late October.
Sure.
And then the students serve us. So, that's their practice ground. That's their classroom. So that we serve a full course dinner, salad, entree, dessert for $9.
That's insane.
Now,
I didn't realize that when I first had lunch there, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago with a friend. I had no idea that it was student run and that you were the man back of the house cracking the whip and making sure that everything was done properly.
I try, But it's a great opportunity to help out the community, but at the same time the students get to learn, it's nothing like learning, real hands on.
Sure.
Everybody comes out, you're helping us, and in return we get to try to feed you some great food.
And
we have a pastry program, so the dessert's all plate it up all nice, and we try to plate it up like you'd be in a five-star restaurant. So
bring me some lobster tails next week.
Absolutely.
do you ever make those there?
Not lobster, not yet. But you know, like we try to keep we do get them in there. You know, on a small basis, but for $9,
that's true.
Serving caviar and lobster, but we do. I will get it in for the students to try and stuff like that. So
I'm talking lobster tails, the pastry.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh yeah, no, we do make those.
Which is
I'll have my wife. She's our pastry instructor. I'll have her whip some.
Oh, she
up
is.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I knew that she did wedding cakes and such, but I didn't realize that she was your partner in crime in the bakery side of things.
Yeah, we both met at Johnson & Wales, and we both owned a restaurant and bakery together for about 8 years. And after that, we got into teaching. So she also cooks. She also works as a teacher at Concord High School at their culinary program as well. So
wow, so it's all food all the time.
All the time, that's why I get my figure right here.
Well,
you just
confessed to me that you are making an honest effort to drop some pounds.
I did
with pretty remarkable. Drop the first week. Now I know that usually the first week is the biggest drop, and then you got to earn the rest of the way.
It is, and I've been trying to, I've been getting out and try to walk for a couple miles or go to the gym for and do the treadmill for a couple miles, and then do some weightlifting and stuff like that. And it's been working out, but I did have to go to the chiropractor this week though.
Uh-oh.
Because have you ever been to a chiropractor?
Never have. Fortunately.
Oh my god, it's like paying someone to beat you up. You sit
I'd
there.
Rather get a massage than a chiropractor cracking my vertebrae.
I for some reason I get it when I sit down. It must be like sciatica or something, but I sit down, I just get this pain. So I went there, and they put you on this table that tilts down, and all of a sudden the table starts jumping out at you, hitting you in the thigh and all that sort of stuff. And then he comes behind you and starts raking you. He takes your head and he crinks it back, and he snaps you. And he's like, "Oh, just relax." He chop you in the side of the neck. I'm like, "Oh!" I get out there. I'm like, "What's going on?"
Did you pay for this?
I did. It was good.
Wow.
But after you feel good. Afterwards.
You ever had a professional massage?
Oh yeah. I get one of those periodically. So.
Yeah, you can't beat those.
Yeah, yeah. I know people that get them, like once a week, or once a month or whatever it is. So.
Oh well, good luck with your journey and your lifestyle changes, because you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Go buy some new clothes.
I will. Hopefully that's my goal. Actually, I still have the old ones from when I was skinnier. Anyway, so I hold on to them just to hope to get into them.
Right.
Know?
Well, so. Looks like you may.
Yeah.
Our guest today will include Seth Simonian, who's in for Michael Hopley Pierce, who is unable to be here today. Seth is a Hophead United founder, and he's plugged into all aspects of craft brewing in the state of New Hampshire. A very interesting guy. So we are not letting our fans of beer down today. We have an excellent replacement for Michael, so we'll be talking to him in just a few moments. At 1 o'clock, our blogger out in Topeka, Kansas, Linda Thompson Ditch, and her blog today has to do with grown-up beverages, basically that are really tasty, not so much savory, like a White Russian or something, but something more interesting than that. So she'll be chatting a little bit about that. So it looks like we're on the slippery slope of over-serving ourselves, at least by conversation. And, of course, Chef Patrick Hall is here, and I hope to be able to reach somebody at the big event Rafting for Wishes at Heskey Park in Meredith for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, specifically Jason, who is the marketing manager at the Verizon Wireless Arena. He's on for all 44 hours. Most other people, it's kind of a tag team. You're on for 2 hours and somebody relieves you. But it's a full 44-hour event to raise as much money as they can for the Make-A-Wish New Hampshire Foundation. And Jason is probably the only guy that's done it every year. Granted, it's only been about 5 years or so since they started it, but he'll be there the entire 44 hours. So I'm hoping that we have a chance to chat with him.
That'd be good.
Now, before we take a break and talk to Seth, I have a couple things off the hot news flash wire that I kind of like to get your feedback on as our food professional in this group here. Starbucks, and I don't know which particular location. We know they're high-end coffee and various beverages and pastries out of Seattle.
Yeah.
That's right. Apparently, they are trying a barbecue sandwich. Yeah, I don't really know. I saw this. It was commentary on one of the food websites. The actual location of Food Beast, which is one of the services that we take a look at, is right next door to a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really dangerous place for them to roll out something that's going to get picked apart and raked over the coals. And that's exactly what happened. They said as soon as they saw the barista go into the fridge and pull out some beef in plastic and unwrap, they said, nah, this can't be
the first
good.
Thing pops in my head is the McRib sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's, I mean, you know, you don't expect that style of, you know, barista to make stuff like that. Maybe simple chicken salad or
sure.
little rolls and
stick
stuff.
Stick with what you do good.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you're making a boatload of money with coffee and some. I mean, the pastries look really good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where they make them, but.
Well, they get high quality stuff.
Yeah, they do. They do. And you pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, so I'm going to pass on the beef, the pulled pork sandwiches with the barbecue sauce. All right, here's another topic that I read about and something that I often wonder about. In fact, kind of came into my life yesterday, and I'll explain why in a minute. And that is. The pull-by dates that we see on products in the store.
Yes.
So what's your insight into that? Because we know typically you can certainly have those products, most of them well beyond the date that's stamped on them.
Yeah, yeah. Usually that's like a guideline. You know, it's like a sell-by date. Okay, you're going to sell it by this time, you know, and people look on them. The rule of thumb is, you know, you get some fresh product in there. Once you get it home, you get about a week. You know, after that, mm-hmm. I worked for a grocery store and I worked in the seafood department. And, you know, I just, you know, crazy story. And I'm not going to mention the place, but
Thank
one
you.
Of my jobs were to go out and they had like seafood stuffed mushrooms. And it's like, okay, it goes by the pull date. They're like, oh, let's take those back and we'll repackage them and rewrap them and put them back out. And I was just mortified.
Yeah.
That was my first, you know, so it depends on the store. You get a nice reputable store. You know, obviously they put them out there, mm-hmm. you know, and you'll see like little stickers of the manager specials and things like that on there. And,
yeah. I call it orphan meat. I'll go to at Shaw's. And I'll mention them because I've been pleased with the orphan meat that I've been able to get. They have just a little section.
Yeah.
And I might be able to get a nice filet that's $20 a pound. I might walk home with, a pound for like $7 after they mark it down and then they put the manager special tear off tab on it again. And I've had really, really good luck doing that.
A lot of people get like so nervous about that. And, but if you think, I think I talked to you once about this, and you know, we talked about aged meats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the restaurant, you age meats, you take a whole piece of meat,
yes.
like the primal cuts, and you put it in the back of your fridge for 45 days. So, and before you even get that, you'll get the meat in. It'll be cryovac'd, like a whole piece. So if I want to cut up a whole sirloin, it'll be cryovac'd. Well, it's called wet aging is what that is. That's already 6 months old sometimes when you get it.
Yeah.
So then you break into it and you cut it. Of course, the restaurant's going to sell it like that.
Sure.
But if you age it even more, you know, you trim down the fat, you salt it up a little bit, you put it in the back of your walk-in, and you let it go for 45 days. You take it out, you take off all the bad pieces and just trim it down. And then you, in the center is that red cut of steak, and it adds flavor and it adds tenderness to it.
Okay.
So
good to know.
So.
What we're finding out is 40% of the food that we produce in this country never gets eaten, which is probably no surprise to you, which is nearly half our food wasted, not just on our plates, but in refrigerators and pantries, in our grocery stores and our farms. Most of the food is perfectly good and edible, and it's worth about $165 billion a year in food. And we have... Steve Freeman from the Manchester Food Co-op, which isn't open yet, but they're getting their act together. And he says, you know, there's so much food that doesn't get sold or eaten because it's not pretty, as he calls it. And since we eat with our eyes and we see all the beautifully food-styled pictures that are taken and put on TV and stuff, if it isn't perfect,
nope.
We won't eat it.
Yeah.
So let me see. I think I have one more thing before we jump into a quick break and bring Seth on. All right, so you've got kids.
Yeah.
Do they like the Pixar movies, or did they go see the Lego movie?
They just went last night. What was the Minions movie?
Yes.
Last night and saw the Minions movie.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's Pixar, but we also saw the Inside Out. Is that the
yes.
one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That we just went and saw that one too. I like them as well. It's funny. You get a you go in there, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be a kids movie. Then you're like sitting there glued to the TV. You know?
Exactly. Well, the Lego movie was huge.
Oh, love that movie.
A new film about the iconic candy dispenser known as Pez.
No kidding.
Is coming to a theater near you. LA-based Envision Media Arts announced Monday it had entered into an agreement with the 88-year-old candy company to produce an animated feature. It's according to Bloomberg Press. The deal follows in the footsteps of franchise agreements like Warner Brothers with Lego and stuff like that. I mean, Pez, and I don't know how many candy types they've had, but the weirdest ones I ever saw was in Washington, D.C., and I went into the Ford Theater, which is where President Lincoln was assassinated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's still there. And, of course, the lobby is all dedicated to that whole thing. And there are Pez dispensers of 1800s presidents.
No kidding.
So there's President Grant as a Pez. That just seems so weird. Lincoln as a Pez.
They make them. I have a giant one. So you know how you have the packs that you fill the Pez with?
Right.
Well, I have a giant Pez dispenser. It's a Yoda because I'm a Star Wars freak.
Okay.
It's a Yoda one. And you open his head and it starts playing the theme song to Star Wars. But then you pull out a whole thing of Pez, you know?
Yeah, so right.
Pez is one of my favorites.
So this would be a movie you'll go to see.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm there.
It. All right. So there's a quick look at what's happening with the world of food and news. We're going to get back and talk about craft brews and the state of craft brewing in the state of New Hampshire and the people involved, and a really cool event coming up that if you're serious about learning and being entertained by brewers, then you're going to have your chance in just a couple of weeks. We'll talk to Seth here in just a couple of moments all about that. He's in today for Michael Hopley-Pierce. It's Mike Morin. Carol Lawrence is away. Food for Thought on the Pulse, 107.7 WTPL. We're right back after these.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
It must be Thirsty Thursday, because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077. And now, Carol and Mike bring you MHP Untapped.
We do. It's true. And the show, of course, Food for Thought, brought to you by Mama McDonough's Irish Pub. I bet they've got some good brews inside there at 5 Depot Street in Hillsboro. They're on Facebook. Also brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now Londonderry, the brand new drive-thru location right off exit 5 at I-93 in Londonderry. And it's true, Michael Hopley-Pierce is off today. He has tapped the shoulder of co-founder of Hophead United, and that is Seth Simonian, who was actually here, was it about a month or so ago?
A little over a month ago.
Yeah, you got your feet wet, you liked it, and we said, you know, if we ever need this guy, we're going to bring him back. And before you, what are you doing over there, Chef Patrick?
I got this little app. And it's
this is an app for your iPhone.
It's called iBeer.
Yeah.
And it just all it does is mimic my beer.
All right, so we have a beer, and it looks like he is, when he holds it up to his mouth and tips it, it looks like he's drinking what's in his iPhone screen.
I wish I could taste it.
I was freaking out. I'm looking over there. I said, what is he doing on my peripheral vision?
I'm drinking beers.
Drinking beers, yeah.
Celebrating the segment is great.
Now,
did you
pay for that app?
No, it's free.
Oh, it's a free app.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I shouldn't be surprised because I just found out recently that you are. Well, I don't know if you're officially a hophead, but you're definitely a beer enthusiast, right?
Oh, yeah. We've been brewing for roughly, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. So, but, we do it as a hobby,
Seth was just a kid when you started out doing that. So, Seth, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Thank you again for having me. It's a pleasure. I don't know if I can fill Mike's shoes, but I'll try.
Well, you can start by turning your sound down. We do that all the time. We start getting texts or people call us.
I turn mine on.
Carol and I, mine is off as well. But so what's really fun for me doing this show is, I mean, I have some working knowledge with a lot of stuff. I really, no surprise to you, Seth, really had no knowledge of craft beers, but I'm really paying attention and reading things and definitely trying to learn because, wow, what a growing area of interest for people. And it's very interactive. Man, you can become your own brewer, and who knows, like Michael, who'll be opening his own brewery next year. Do you have a beer brand yet?
I do not, and I don't know that I'll ever get into brewing per se as a brewer. My interest lies more in the marketing, promotional, helping the brewers build outside of the brewing perspective. But it's definitely a forethought.
There. And somebody needs to do that because it's such a thriving activity now that it would be almost leaving a lot of publicity on the table without somebody to kind of round it up and get it out there as you're doing.
Right. And I mean, the interesting perspective, if you look at New Hampshire as a whole, we unfortunately had one brewery close very recently off of the seacoast, but we've got another 42 to 43 on the books to open the next, 18 months to 24 months.
Sure. And they all won't survive, but probably the majority of them will. That seems to be, a lot of businesses have a very high failure rate percentage. I would guess, at least early on, there's probably a lower failure rate for commercial craft brewers.
Well, yeah, and I mean, a lot of these guys get in slow. They start as home brewers. They win a couple of awards. They build their recipes, get them to a point that they want them. Their friends start saying, hey, you know, you really should get into this. And then they kind of take that next step. Mm-hmm. And they really start to get into a commercial brewing, but they do it slowly. You have some guys like Abel Ebenezer who are going to be at the event, the Hop Talks, mm-hmm. Who they went in full bore. And they're doing a fantastic job. They make a great product. But you do have other guys who kind of slowly work their way into the industry.
Yeah, I've seen – I went to – have you ever been to Idle Hands down in Mass?
I have not.
Yeah, and he just literally, I mean, some of these guys open up and it's just this old abandoned warehouse that we abandoned years ago. It used to have, obviously used to be like a big factory thing, but they took up one section and it's just like, it's like literally it's like walking through, I don't know if you've seen that movie, Beer Fest. It's like walking through there and you all of a sudden you get there and you knock on the door three times, you open it up and everybody's having a party inside. So it's pretty cool, you know, and they give you a little glasses and you're just sitting there. You sample the beers and people are just sitting around talking and it's really, really cool, you know, so it's one of those things that I love doing, you know, so.
It's a pretty cool vibe what you're involved with, and it seems like it's a very cooperative vibe, very nurturing for the most part.
It absolutely is. I mean, the best way to describe it is it's a very competitively collaborative.
Ah, there you go. Collaborative is the word I was looking for.
Environment, and these guys all talk, they all work together, they share kind of what's hot, what's going on, and it's a very unique industry to walk into and step into because it's very inviting, very opening. And if you're able to show value and able to show intrigue and work on a creative and innovative level that these guys work on, you know, they try to work with you.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we go to these, you know, beer, you know, to these things, and it's like, you know, the local, you know, brewers and stuff like that. It's almost like, you know, like in a restaurant industry, it's all competitive. It's like, you know, but you get here, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, that's a good beer. You should try this, and this, and they're helping each other out. And it's just this community of just, you know, people that are just like, oh, just appreciate beer. It's like this whole, you know, craftsman thing that you sit there and drink beers with. It's amazing. It's fun.
Well, it's that way now. Who knows if it may get a little more competitive as time goes on and a few really rise to the top. And there are some major players and others who certainly have that potential. Seth reminds us that coming up in just a few weeks, August 29th, at the Radisson Hotel in Nashua, right over the state line on Spitbrook Road, that great big Tudor type of hotel, is the Hop Talks. Now, I'm familiar with TED Talks, and not everybody is. You go to somebody and say, have you ever watched a TED Talk? And people go, no. But people that have seen or heard of TED Talks are just blown away by how interesting, how well produced they are, and how much you can learn from them. Just Google it sometime and put some area of interest that you have, and you will find people speaking that will absolutely draw you in.
You can go on YouTube with that, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. So this is not a TED Talk, but it's something that's sort of patterned after the way they do it. So explain how the day is going to go for the big Hop Talks.
So the Hop Talks, we take the TED-style presentation, we spin it from a brewer's perspective. So you have six brewers giving a 20-minute TED-style presentation, who they are, where they came from, why they got into the industry, what makes them tick, you know, why they brew, what they brew, what their passion is. And it's really the intimate level of detailed information or experience that every craft beer fan wants to have with a brewer but rarely gets the chance to have, and vice versa. The brewer wants to be able to have that experience with their fan to help grow their business and their name and their reputation. So we take those six presentations. You get 20-minute presentations. You're seated. You have 2 6-ounce samples from each brewer poured to you prior to the presentation.
Okay. So okay, they don't do that at TED Talks.
No. So they're going to hear a little bit about their beer, and then you're going to hear a little bit about them. After six of those presentations, there's going to be an hour-long Q&A where you're one of 200 people, not a few thousand, who have the chance to speak with the brewers and, you know, ask them some more intimate questions, some details, buy some of their merchandise, and just, again, have a little bit more of that intimate educational style experience.
All right, so here's the question. People that do TED Talks are very well-spoken and have essentially been vetted, or I don't know if I would use the word auditioned. How do you know these people are all captivating speakers, or doesn't it matter?
I think it matters to a point, but you're also speaking to a specific audience. Yeah. Like the individuals that are there to learn about beer, and we're pulling you know, the masters of the craft in to have the conversation. So as they're having the conversation, it's going to be kind of a multitude. You know, you're always going to have those presenters that stand out, and you're always going to have kind of the mediocre fall that toe the line. But all in all, I think across the board, we have some really great breweries in perspective, from some of the newest brewers on the market, some guys who haven't even opened yet, to the second oldest brewery in the state. So you're going to get a very vivid story of craft beer in New Hampshire, where it's going, where it's been, how things are going to progress, and where these guys come from, where they derive from. And you will have some vetting going on and some teaching and coaching and pushing through of how the presentation should look, what type of questions should be answered during the presentation. But it's definitely not as in-depth per se as a TED style.
Maybe it becomes a TED Talk at some point once you find out who the real compelling speakers are.
Very well could turn into something more,
because then you have a much larger platform, you know, around the world.
Absolutely.
That's a very cool idea. It's funny, I went to a TED Talk, and it was a variety of people from this local community, and one of the best-known people there was a restaurant owner from many restaurants in New Hampshire. And everybody was supposed to speak like 17 minutes, or I think that was it. And, you know, you've got audio-visual aids, and which I assume you'll have some of that as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, the direction that I give is I'm not a big fan of PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And from a TED perspective, use some of the visual, but definitely
don't
talk
lean on
the story.
It, right? Talk the story. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
So this particular guy, remember, everybody's supposed to talk 17 minutes. He goes 40 minutes. And it's like people are looking at their watches. But he was telling an interesting story about a product we were all pretty familiar with. So it was okay. Now, to have six people each go 40 minutes would be a killer.
Right. And we're prepping them to be
20
minutes. So, you know, it's a very time-sensitive event,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you have six of these guys presenting. We want to keep the audience captive. We want to keep the audience engaged, ongoing. But we also want to make sure the brewers are able to tell the story behind the beer.
I'm really interested in going to that.
I am too.
And hope that have you have a certain number of tickets? Or
yeah, there's 200 tickets per event.
Okay.
And right now we're sitting right around 75 available. So that there's still some space. Love to have everybody there, and it's definitely going to be a very unique experience.
Have someone on stage, you know, throwing out beers.
Keep
everybody engaged like this.
Yeah, I'm just coming for the wet T-shirt contest myself. That won't be happening.
You got a beer cannon.
Yeah.
Along with this comes a lot of false advertising on this show, so I apologize.
When we come back, we're going to tell you how to get tickets to the Hop Talks, which will be August 29th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Radisson Hotel. Our guest sharing his information about that and all things craft brewing in New Hampshire is Seth Simonian, who is the founder of Hophead United. We'll be back shortly. It's the Pulse 107.7 WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back, my friends. Carol Lawrence is away today and tomorrow. We'll be outside on the front of the Beacon Building tomorrow for our show, which is Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse, sponsored by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, as well as Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. Spending a few more moments in studio with Seth Simonian from Hophead United. It's an information organization that kind of pulls together all the facets of craft brewing in the state on various levels and platforms, including the Hophead Talks, which really sounds interesting. More than half the tickets are sold at this point at the Radisson Hotel in Nashua on the 29th. That's a Saturday from 2 to 6. Seth, how do they get tickets to this?
You can get tickets by going to our website, hopheadunited.com, mm-hmm. or through Eventbrite by searching the Hop Talks.
All right. And you also have something called Hophead Academy. What's that about?
So Hophead Academy is really one of the first beer schools in New Hampshire. What we're going to be doing is, starting in September, we're rolling out classes. They'll be about an hour and a half to 3 hours, depending on the curriculum. They're taught in the breweries by the brewers themselves, everything ranging from, you know, basic level of brewing 101 stuff all the way to advanced levels of brewing, how to dry hop, you know, double, triple IPAs. Really how to focus in on the niches of beer that people produce, and it's going to play to the strengths of the brewers. So they're picking where they feel they can impact the most, and we're building a pretty solid curriculum around how to help kind of produce a little bit more of a different environment to help bring home brewers or craft beer enthusiasts in to give them a little bit of a more intimate developed experience.
Will this eventually evolve into something that will be a certification so that people that have gone through it can at least show they've done the homework for it?
So the hope is that as we produce through the curriculum and we build it out, we're able to partner with a higher education organization and really be able to help refine some sort of
Hi, my name's Patrick Hall.
Out.
How are you? Sorry to interrupt.
But I mean, that is the goal. The goal is to really help drive the awareness in the state, but also help build out something that could be continually productive for a long period of time.
Do you see that as something that has potential? I mean, you're teaching students, many of whom can't drink yet.
Oh, yeah.
Does that still work?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my idea, you know, behind like something like this would be like to not just you see so many breweries now, you know, that you go and you go taste breweries. Well, what's attached to it? A restaurant. You know, so it works hand in hand because it's you know, we are, you know, the hospitality industry, no matter what you look at it, even though beer is a more select, unique industry. But this, I mean, this would, you know, that would be, it's such a great thing that you guys are doing. It's amazing. So, I mean, there's so much more.
Well, the interest is there too,
yeah,
I would say. All right, why don't you, Seth, before we run out of time, let us know who the six brewing companies and head brewmasters will be joining you for your big hop talk.
Absolutely. So we're going to have six brewers presenting. We have Candia Road Brewing, 603 Brewery, Swift Current, Kelsen, Litherman's Limited, Martha's Exchange, and Abel Ebenezer. We also have four other breweries that will be sampling during the Q&A, Oddball Brewing, Mill City Brewing, Distillery, which is out of Nashua, as well as one other that we're still working the details out with.
So, again, this is Saturday the 29th at the Radisson Hotel. It's called the Hop Talks. You've heard of the TED Talks. I think it's a brilliant concept, and I'm going to try to clear that day so that I can come to see how it works, and because I'm learning more and becoming more interested. When I go into the store now, I'm looking to see what – I'm trying to figure out which ones are the pretenders – and which ones are the real craft brews?
I mean, the microbrew industry just comes so far. I mean, back in the restaurant industry, it always used to be wine. Mm-hmm. Now, beer industry's become even bigger. I mean,
what happened in the 80s and 90s with wine is happening today with beer.
Yeah.
What wineries were doing with grapes, I mean, you're seeing a tremendously different perspective of what brewers are doing with hops today.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm definitely going, as long as my wife will let me go.
Phrase it that way. It's a daycare day for husbands.
That's what it is. I'm doing my research. Someone's got to do it, you know?
And it would be tax deductible for you,
absolutely.
A $65 a ticket to get in.
Lakes Region Community College is sending me to this forum have to go to.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's definitely...
Is that in the budget? Will the president of Lakes Region Community College say... What?
I don't know.
Worry about that later.
We'll worry
right?
about that later.
Slide it in with some of your other expenses.
I've been in trouble for worse before, you know? So,
hey, today is IPA Day, is it not?
Correct. Yeah, today is National IPA Day.
Right, so tell people what IPA is and what it stands for.
India Pale Ale, and it's really one of the more predominant American-style craft beers out today. It's the very hop-forward, very flavorful beers you're seeing, you know, people do double and triple IPAs that are dry hopped, and they're just really bringing a lot more flavor and distinction to the beer itself. You know, you've got a lot of guys out there doing some great stuff. A lot of the guys that are going to be at the Hop Talks, 603, Abel, Kelsen, Martha's Exchange, Swift Current, Candia Road, they all have some great IPAs. So if you have a chance to get out and try some.
Yeah.
All right. So is this event, do you think it's going to be attended by mostly current existing aficionados of this type of brewing, or do you think you'll be drawing in some people that are kind of curious about the buzz and are willing to spend $65 to experience this?
I think you're going to see a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really realistically look at the price of a $65 ticket, you're going to spend the same going to an average craft beer festival. You're spending $35, $40 to get in, an extra $15 to $20 to get additional tokens for beer. So
sure.
Realistically, the cost, it averages out to what you would spend on a normal basis. But I think you're going to see a good, solid mixture of people from, you know, the high enthusiasts who might be home brewers or going a little bit further and beyond to the average guy who's out getting into the craft beer world, trying some new things, and is just interested in learning. And again, the perspective is to give the craft beer fan that intimate level of experience that they just long to have, but rarely get the chance to have.
Yeah, from the brewing beer, I mean, it's just like cooking. There's always something to learn, and there's always something new that comes out. And, you know, like I said, it goes from before when you had, you know, limited amount of hops. Now, all of a sudden, it's just there's so many, you know, crossbreeds of hops and different flavors and things that you can add to it. So it's amazing. I get mesmerized. So I'm telling you.
I love the collaborative nature of it, though. And I think when you get a couple hundred people together in addition to the brewmasters, it you know, the time must fly by.
Yeah. It's going to be a great time, a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing everybody there. Hopefully everyone can make it out.
All right, again, how to get tickets?
Eventbrite.com, search the Hop Talks, or hopheadunited.com.
Sesamoni is co-founder of Hophead United, and what about the website for that?
Hopheadunited.com.
Perfect. Well, I know you'll come back another time. You did beautifully for Michael Hopley Pierce.
Well, thank you. Hopefully you can tell him that, and
he
comes back a happy guy from his vacation.
Right. We'll be back with another hour of Food for Thought. We're heading out to Kansas to see what's going on there with adult beverages. A little bit fancier than beer, but nevertheless, quite interesting. It's Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL with Carol and Mike. Carol's back on Monday. Chef Patrick Hall is my co-host, and we'll see you in just a few moments.